What is going on, crypto family? So today we got Chris Dah. He is the CEO of Effect AI coming on. Today we hear about his past, how he comes from rock and roll and kickboxing, his favorite movies, how he gets into AI and crypto, how he likes to pay things forward, all his travels all over the place, whole bunch of cool stuff. Please help us grow the family. Give us a comment and review on the Apple or Google Play Store. It's super quick and easy. Just scroll down, click the little stars, comment, and just help us grow the fam. All right, so now that that's out of the way, let's go meet Chris, and I'll catch you on the other side. What is going on, crypto family? So today we got Chris Dah. He is the CEO of Effect AI with us. Big pleasure to meet you. Appreciate you coming on the channel, man. What part of the world are you in?
So we're based out of Amsterdam, the Netherlands.
Nice, man. Land of beer, pretzels, all that kind of cool stuff, man.
Yeah, there's pretty cool stuff out here.
I love it, man. It looks like you guys are in some kind of like plywood room. What's going on with the decor behind you?
Are you
a woodsmith?
Yeah. I'm a carpenter by trade. So we actually just recently moved to a university startup campus. They've been actually asking us to come by for the last year and a half. So it's a pretty neat ecosystem here. We actually, after our token sale about a year and a half ago, we rented out a pretty large office, had a pretty big team, and we just decided to diversify our locations and be somewhere a little bit more inspiring around a whole bunch of other, you know, startups. And it's right connected to the university here. It's a science park in Amsterdam. So any Dutch tech university student would know exactly where we're at. So just an inspiring place. They're actually just containers. So we have this one container that, you know, we can source some talent from the university and just be part of the whole AI and blockchain scene here in the Netherlands, which is actually picking up pretty big. Yeah.
No, that's actually really smart, man. Keeps your overhead down and it brings in a whole new talent pool to you, man. They're just walking by every single day. Who's that guy in that SpaceX shirt, right? What are they doing, right?
Exactly it.
That's pretty smart, man. So you sound like you're from the U.S. though. So what part of the world are you originally from?
I'm originally Canadian. So,
Canadian,
yeah.
Oh, the land of Ryan Reynolds.
Red in Vancouver, yes.
Yeah, awesome, man. Yeah, I always think of Canada as the land of Ryan Reynolds. So that's one of your best exports. So Deadpool, you know. So
we got some good and we got some bad. I apologize for the Justin Bieber, but we got some good talent coming out of there.
I don't know, man. He's kind of catchy. I think enough girls and guys do like him. So, but awesome, man. So what got you into tech, man? What got you into AI, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, it's a funny story because I haven't been such the big techie my entire life, but I have been a serial entrepreneur, which started when I was a young boy. And I just like to live life a little bit differently. So how it all came to be, how this project came to be and how I came into the space was I was traveling the world, starting businesses in different locations. I actually opened up a kickboxing gym in Thailand. And one of my students was from Amsterdam and had a tech company. A few months later, I met the girl of my dreams, who was also Dutch, at the gym. And I ended up coming back home with her to the Netherlands and connecting with my old friend who was a student at the gym. So yeah, I was hanging out at his agency, kind of helping out with a few different tasks there on Friday, you know, having beers with the crew. But several years prior to that, I was into cryptocurrencies and that's how I was making my living because the kickboxing gym in Thailand was pretty good, but it wasn't lucrative when it came to money. So I would spend many, many evenings trading different cryptocurrencies. So I was already into that space, but not on a technical level, just trading. The technology blew my mind, but then I started getting into other projects. But then with some of the different people that were at his agency, we would talk a lot about cryptocurrencies, and they were very highly involved in artificial intelligence and AI development. And those two things we kind of married over a few beers one night, and it came to be this project Effect.ai, which has been an absolutely crazy journey so far, but things are going great. Yeah.
So do we have to worry about some kind of cyborg kickboxer coming out of your camp?
Yeah, for sure. That's the main thing that we're working on right now is the cyborg kickboxing robot. So yeah. Coming to you in 2020.
Awesome, man. But seriously though, what is what's Effect AI trying to really accomplish? What's your main mission? Like if you had even your mission statement, all the goals coming in the next like 3 years, what are you guys all about?
Yeah, okay. So the initial white paper in a nutshell was a decentralized network for artificial intelligence development that unfolds in three overlapping phases. So the first phase would be what we called initially Effect Mechanical Turk. So basically a decentralized Mechanical Turk. And a Mechanical Turk is basically a micro-tasking platform that a global network of individuals come in. They help structure data sets to turn that data set into a a high quality training set for building algorithms. So that was phase one, getting a real community, a global community of people together to help structure data. The second phase was an AI marketplace called Effect Smart Market. This is a marketplace where anybody that's built the algorithms out of the training sets that we've accomplished for them, or anybody that's built any type of AI service, can offer that in one place, like an app store for AI. Along with the AI marketplace, you can also incorporate the human intelligence. So you have this line of automation. You have humans that are the best at automating most things right now, and AI isn't as smart as we think it is. But as AI and algorithms continue to grow and these services and algorithms grow, then you can, you know, drag and drop, you know, certain types of human intelligence with algorithms to automate a process. So there's many examples of this that we've already accomplished, but that was the second phase. And then the third phase is very much like Gollum that's built on Ethereum. So the global supercomputer to actually run and deploy these AI algorithms. So you can actually just accomplish everything in one place. You can build it, you can find it and monetize on it, and then you can also run it in your system. So that was initially in the white paper. But if I was going to give you like the real presentation and pitch of what we are doing right now and what we're working on right now and the importance of the first phase, I would say that we are the human intelligence protocol. So we help data scientists and data science teams tap into a global network of individuals to help them structure their data sets. Because the big major problem in data science is messy data. It's unorganized, unstructured data. And what's happening is data scientists and data science teams, these guys that you're paying out $150,000 a year to $200,000 or $300,000 a year to employ, they are working 80% of their time structuring data. Structuring data is a very simple thing to do, you know, labeling pictures or organizing text or you know, it's just simple stuff. So to outsource that is what we accomplish for people. And that's basically what we do. We help data scientists structure their data incredibly fast, outsource it to thousands of individuals to get it back to them in no time flat.
Yeah, it seems like that's what the world's becoming all about, man, is more data, more data, more data. So if it's these big corporations buying up the smaller corporations that are still pretty big just to get our data and have access to it, I can see what you're doing, man. It's just categorizing it all so that way they can just tap into it. One of the things you guys probably get a little bit of is, you know, probably just for the people out there in the cheap seats that want to know, what's some of the, like, the biggest differentiators between yourself and maybe like Ben Gertzel with like Singularity Net? You know, they're kind of doing somewhat similar things. I mean, competition's good. So, I mean, if you guys are doing the exact same thing, nothing wrong with that, but then maybe a couple key separators.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of their project, and we're actually partnered with their initiative. So we're partnered with DIA. So that's the Artificial Intelligence Alliance, Decentralized Artificial Intelligence Alliance. And so for them, they're trying to build a general intelligence for Sophia. So these are many, many components to actually make Sophia incredibly smart. There's so many different elements. And within those elements is kind of like a marketplace for AI algorithms and services, similar to our phase two. So there would be some overlap in competition there. But when it comes to the first phase of Effect.ai, which is our intelligence market, they're not doing that. So that would be the main, you know, difference between the two projects. But I really look forward. We can't do this by ourselves. There's nobody that's accomplished anything all by themselves. So we definitely want to be a part of their alliance and make sure that we work together. And we do. We work with Ocean Protocol. We work with all kinds of different projects. And though competition is fun and it really drives me as an entrepreneur, I also understand the power of a network of individuals collectively trying to work and build the same thing, especially when it's important, an incredibly important initiative like decentralized artificial intelligence, taking it out of the hands of the powerful corporations and making sure that it's transparent, global, inclusive, and make sure that we all can participate in that is the main objective of us all. So yeah, it's good to have those guys as allies and as competitors.
No, absolutely, man. Many hands make light work, right? So very cool, man. And then more about you. So what do you do for fun, man? You got any hobbies? You said you're a kickboxer, so that's awesome. So how'd you go, you know, you went from kickboxing to being an entrepreneur, and I can see how those kind of relate. It's definitely a grind. So, but aside from...
It's prepared me for the crypto grind, that's for sure. Yeah. You definitely need some physical health in this game. Like I said, I've been a serial entrepreneur in the kickboxing thing. I wasn't a student. It was actually my gym. I was also a student to begin with,
for sure.
And a professional fighter. But yeah, my like I said, I really, since I was a young child, I like to live life a little bit different. In my teenage years and my early to mid 20s, I was in a rock and roll band. I play music. I love to play guitar. I love to sing. I love to play bass. I played bass in a couple bands as well. So I was really about rock and roll, traveling around and doing that kind of thing. Then I really got into business and the development of business. Listen, being in a rock and roll band is also a business. And if you don't play that game, then you'll lose out, you know? And I learned a lot from not playing the business side of the music thing because that was my main passion. And I kind of got stopped at a certain point because of my lack of knowledge in doing business and relating music to business. So I did get into business. I ran a few different companies in the energy industry in Canada and went on to run a few different companies. And then from there, I moved out to Thailand. I had the kickboxing gym in Thailand, moved over to Australia, did some stuff in Australia. That's where I got introduced to Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies at a meetup out there. Several years back, I remember going to this meetup and there was like six guys in a room, you know, saying how Bitcoin's going to be the next biggest thing. And I was intrigued because I learned about it at a Christmas dinner. So yeah, that's how I got to here. So rock and roll is still my thing. I love rock and roll, always will. I still play from time to time, just for my kids. It's a different type of music, Puff the Magic Dragon and stuff like that now, instead of Metallica and stuff. but yeah, music and fitness and fitness are my two pleasures outside of running this crypto project, which is more than full time.
Yeah, it's definitely it's rough in a band, you know, because it seems like everybody makes money except for the band. There's all these little intricacies nobody knows about. Everybody's got their hand out, and if you're on tour with other bands, well, most of the time you're paying to play. So, yeah, it's definitely for the love of the game, not for the money, because there's only just a small fraction of the bands that actually make any money. And some of the bands out there that people have heard of and know of, you know, they're more broke than the guy on the street asking for your change, but they just do it because they love it. So that's awesome, man. Between that, being a kickboxer and now to crypto, you can definitely, you can take some shots. That's for sure, man. It's awesome, man. What about movies, man? What's your favorite movie?
Oh, wow. That's a phenomenal question. Movies. All right. Oh, wow. You caught me off guard. Okay. Donnie Darko, I'm a big fan of. I just saw the new Quentin Tarantino movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. A big Quentin Tarantino fan. That movie was excellent. Really enjoyed it. There Will Be Blood is really up there on my super list, especially because the guitarist, the Radiohead, actually did the soundtrack. So I always wondered, why was I so connected and involved in that movie? And I was like, oh, it's the music. I wonder what that was. And then I found out it was the Radiohead guitarist that did most of the scoring for that movie. A Clockwork Orange is a good one from back in the day. I'm a big movie freak, but I recently had kids, so I haven't seen movies in many years. Actually, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is the first one I've seen in like 3 years. So,
wow. Yeah, it's not for the kids probably, but yeah. It's
I dropped them anyways. No, I didn't bring them. I didn't.
That's awesome, man. What about books, man? Some book that you read that just kind of maybe opened your mind a little bit, man, that you recommend to other people?
Oh, yeah. The Alchemist. Yeah. That one really flipped my life and came at the exact right time. My guilty pleasure is self-help books. So like Wayne Dyer and Deepak Chopra and all that stuff. I really enjoy that stuff. I really feel it's good exercises for the mind, and really puts me in a positive outlook, you know, cause it's really easy to fall onto the dark side. So those guys keep me bright. The Way of the Peaceful Warrior, that was also a book that came by my world by Dan Millman. It came by my life at a very, very neat time, which was helpful and learned a lot from.
Very cool, man. Last question for you, man. If you had a time machine and you could go forward in time or back in time, as far forward or as far back as you wanted, when and why? But yeah, and I guess the kicker is you have to stay there too, right? So you can go as far forward as you want or as far back as you want, but you got to stay there. When and why would it be?
Oh, man. What are you asking? Crazy. Yeah, listen. Whoa, cool. and I have to stay there because I would love to see some dinosaurs. Yeah, but I wouldn't want to stick around for more than a few seconds.
That's a big lizard. Yeah. Running and screaming.
Listen, man, my first love. Listen, money is fantastic, and that's great. And I'm sure it's easy to say I'd love to go back to 2008 and start mining the shit out of Bitcoin and collecting as much as I can. But what I would rather do is go back to the 70s, maybe even the late 60s, where music was absolutely phenomenal. People were going in the right direction. A lot of humanity were going the wrong direction, but a big group of people that I'm sure I could align with, hang out with, and spread some love and positive vibes, and then really prepare myself to buy as many computers as possible for 2008. So hopefully I would live that long. So yeah, I would hit the 70s. I would build businesses during the 80s because not my favorite music during that period of time. And then the 90s rock and roll, that was fantastic. And then just prepare for technology leading from 2000 on to now.
That might be one of the best answers I've heard so far, man. That's awesome. Cool, man. You talk a lot about giving back.
Like you said, paying it forward is something that I truly believe in. I feel very blessed and honored to be in the position and working on something that I love so incredibly. And our community of tens of thousands of people all over the globe, the people that are working on our platform, the people that are part of our community on Telegram and Twitter and all these different things, they know us and they know we love to pay it forward. And really, this is a project for social good. That's the main priority for us. You know, we can really help change the lives. And that's where the whole basis of blockchain, Bitcoin, and all of this stuff, really empowering people and being inclusive with this technology. So with our workforce, basically anybody on the globe from anywhere on any device can tap into structuring data on our platform and get value for giving value no matter where they are without going through the banking system, which I think is an absolutely important, incredible thing. So yeah, I just feel lucky and honored, and I love to pay it forward wherever I can and however I can.
Well, I appreciate you, my man. Chris, it's been a pleasure meeting you. You said a lot of awesome stuff that resonates well with me. So wish you nothing but success. Keep us posted. And until next time, God bless.
Thanks so much, my man.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Big thanks to Chris. Appreciate you coming on and telling us about all the cool stuff you're doing in the space, all the value you're trying to bring. Before we go, check out the interview I did right here with Todd Herman. It is awesome. A lot of people have been asking me, you know, I don't know, how do I improve myself? How do I make myself better? How do I make more money? All that kind of cool stuff, right? So check out this interview with Todd. I think you're getting a lot of enjoyment and value out of it. So just a friendly reminder, Crypto Beatles shows are never financial advice, recommendations, or trading strategies. The views expressed here are solely that of Robert Beatles and his guests. Robert Beatles is the co-founder of the Monarch Wallet, host of TradingView Sessions, Crypto Beatles on YouTube, and on several entities. Robert's opinions here do not reflect that of those entities. Some information shared here may not actually be factual. These shows are for information and entertainment purposes only. Never invest a single Satoshi or penny in anything without first seeking the counsel and advice of a professional financial advisor. Robert Beatles is not a financial expert or advisor. Investing in anything is super dangerous. You can lose all of your money, so always trade at your own risk. Please help us grow the family. Give us a comment and review on the Apple or Google Play Store. It's super quick and easy. Just scroll down, click the little stars, comment, and just help us grow the fam. All right. God bless you. Love you. Till the next one. Talk to you soon.